Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Stamps.com. Right now, when you use our promo code GHOST at Stamps.com, get a 4-week trial offer, including postage and a digital scale. Go to Stamps.com, and before you do anything else, click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage and type in GHOST.
There was definitely something that happened to these people that was earth-shattering and completely has shaken up their lives.
If you want access to the best real ghost stories,
I think she was afraid that they were going to make her little friend go away.
Real accounts of the dead coming back to life.
She had a spirit that she had gotten very close with.
Real video and images of ghosts.
A little boy.
Then you need to be an extra podcast person, also known as an EPP. Sign up to be one for only $5 a month at ghostpodcast.com.
I stared transfixed as the mist began to gradually become more solid and translucent, and to my shock, more human in appearance.
Your support is what keeps our show on the air. For only $5, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP exclusive episodes, updated weekly, exclusive video content, and more.
Behind me in my kitchen, I hear a little girl say, "Are you my daddy? Where's my daddy?"
Keep us on the air and get access to the best ghost stories and more now at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number to call in and share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can also write it on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or you can always email your audio file to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Lots of ways to get your stories to us. Social media, that's where a lot of folks discuss our stories and interact all over Facebook, Real Ghost Stories Online. Just look that up. Twitter, Ghost Story Radio, Instagram at Ghost Podcast, and Snapchat at Ghost Podcast as well. So lots of places for all of that. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
I found a new snack that I love.
What?
It's the half-popped popcorn.
Half-popped popcorn.
Yeah, it's the stuff, and we were getting it in one of those box things.
Oh,
and
like the Kernel Pop.
Yes, where it's like it's like halfway popped popcorn, so it doesn't break your teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like super fluffy either. Mm-hmm. It's a nice crunch to it. And it strikes me as something to talk about because it's like, this is almost like a new food. Something, and I don't think it is.
No.
I think this has existed for quite some time. It's just in my little world. It's like
it's
just
new to you.
It's just entered the ether, and it's like, oh my God, how have I never heard of this stuff before? So I ordered a bunch online, and then I've never seen it in stores.
Sure.
But I guess it is. Maybe I just didn't know what to look for. And I was looking up techniques and how to make it. And
okay.
I think later today, do we have popcorn upstairs?
It's think we do.
Kerneled popcorn?
Yeah.
I'm going to attempt to make some, and I'll let everyone know how that goes on tomorrow's episode.
It's going to go as well as the time you tried to do a hard-boiled egg in the microwave.
Epic, epic, epic success.
No. No, I thought you were going to say failure, and I was like, that was an understatement.
No, yeah, if you do an egg in the microwave, it essentially turns into a small bomb.
Yeah, pretty much.
And
it smells like a demon.
Yeah, it is a demon bomb. It explodes and does not work. You don't get like that nice little hard point. Like, although, I mean, it happened pretty quick too. I was gonna say, I wonder, like, did we just like leave it in there too long? And
no, I think it was just not supposed to happen.
The pressure and the gas is all build up inside the shell, and boom.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Anyway, this may be a ginormous fail, and I'll just have to like buy the bags of it. But I'm going to try it. I may have like one less tooth tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh, I tried to make this popcorn stuff, and guess what happened? Not all of it popped. And I now have to get 3 new molars put in. So there you go. I'm excited about it. But it's cool stuff. I mean, this is not an advertisement. I just enjoy the stuff. And I'm not hawking a product either. It's just it's like, you know, saying, I like pizza. This is neat. Mm-hmm. Anyway, 855-853-4802 is the phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to a caller.
I got to tell you something that happened today. Just because I know you won't get mad.
I'm trying to
listeners.
Hold that really long. After the call, or?
No, I go ahead and tell you.
Go.
So I was taking the wheelbarrow down the hill to dump the stuff off of the cliff.
Uh-huh.
Totally took out a big portion of our little tiny split rail fence.
Oh, you were taking pieces, like just some flowers we ripped out, dead ones.
It was actually suckers off the bottom of a tree.
Okay.
And I was just tossing them back in the weeds. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally got it going down the hill a little too fast. And
did you fix it?
No.
Is it fixable?
I think so. I think so.
It's lovely. I'll go check that out during this call. Hi, you're on the air.
I called before with a different story. This one, I'm not sure who to tell. Or, I mean, I listen to multiple podcasts, and I just don't know, like, because I've never been one to call in, and I just don't know what this would be classified under. Anyway, an ex and I were at a park late one night, around, like, 9 p.m. maybe, and we were hanging out, we were walking toward the car, and we were giggling. As we step into the car, and we sit down, the entire car starts to vibrate, and we hear like a deep guttural laugh mimicking our laugh as we're laughing, if that makes any sense, like almost at the same time as us. The entire car starts to shake, and we're just sitting there frozen. I look over, and my ex's eyes are all tearing up, and I'm like, and she looks at me and she asks if I heard that, and I told her yeah, and we were trying to figure out what it was. You know, she was freaking out, I was freaking out, we were at this park. And so I'm like, well, whatever it was, it's probably under the car if it's like an animal. So let's, you know, back up and we'll see what happens. So we backed up out of our spot and nothing. And then we pulled out of the parking lot, and the drive from the parking lot, because it's on a little, the park is in a little neighborhood, but the drive from that park to the main street would be, I don't know, less than a minute, like 45 seconds. It's a really short street. We pull out, and as we're driving out, it either seemed like everything slowed down or she was like going 1 mile an hour, but I know we weren't going that slow. And I don't know if you've driven in snow or rain at night, but you can see the water or the snow pretty much just make out the shape of your headlight. So you can't really see the snow in the dark, but you can see it once it hits, you know, the beam of your headlight. And so we started seeing that, but I live in Southern California and it does not rain that often and it does not snow here. And it was one of like the driest points of the year, and it wasn't raining, like none of that was going on, but we still saw that in the headlight, and we couldn't tell if it was snow because it was floating, but it was really bright, almost like stars, if that makes any sense. And so we kind of freak out, she starts slowing down, I start breathing heavy, she starts breathing heavy, everything kind of seems to slow down, and we're both telling each other, are you looking at that, are you looking at that? And then out of nowhere, we both look up into the sky. And it was a really clear sky, but it was just dark. There was no clouds or anything. And almost like out of a hole in the sky, you just see millions and millions, millions of stars. Like literally so many to count. And they're rushing toward us from the sky. And at the same time, we're hearing this really loud jingling sound, like almost like wind chimes, really, really loud, like metal hitting itself or something, as they're rushing toward the car. And as they're coming toward us, right before they hit the windshield, they dissolve. And they're all doing that the whole time. So they're not hitting the actual windshield, and we're freaking out. We're just in the car watching this happen. It stops, and she continues driving. She starts crying, and I fall into a seizure. I don't wake up till we're near my house, and at that point, she's just freaked out looking at me. We tried telling family and friends. Luckily, you know, our friends did hear us out and family members as well, but we don't know what it is. I don't talk to her anymore. It was one of the scariest things I've ever been through, and I don't know what to classify that as, at all. So if you guys know anything or know anyone listening knows anything related to this, I'd love to hear something because this happened last year and I still don't know, like, I've tried Googling, you know, strange you know, stars falling from the sky or things like that, but they're too, you know, like, generalized, like shooting stars. And it's like, no, these things were like the size of like quarters and pennies and dimes. Like, they were little, but they were big and they were shiny and loud, and they were rushing at us. Like, I don't even know how to explain it, but yeah, if you guys can please, you know, even if you don't get back at me, if anyone else hears this, that'd be awesome. But yeah, that's pretty much that story. Thanks again.
I can understand why he didn't know who to call, because I've never heard of anything like that, and I don't even know, you know, what that could be as far as who to talk to about that.
I really wouldn't know what that is, but I think that is a good one to open up. We're talking about social media and other people opening up with their thoughts and feedback on some stories. This would be a good one to do that, mm-hmm. Too. So if anyone wants to start a thread on that on Facebook, you know, or yourself, if you want to start that on Facebook, then I'm sure we can get some other folks to weigh in on that now that they're aware that that thread is going on. My only thought would be maybe some sort of random retro 80s cover group was attempting to film their music video for the remake of Boy Meets Girl, Waiting for a Star to Fall, and this just happened to be what he caught in the crossfire of.
I honestly thought maybe it could have been ash from like a wildfire, but I don't think so.
Waiting for a star to fall.
I'm just going to skip over that, because that's going to be stuck in my head all day.
That's where you belong in my arms, baby. Yeah, yeah. You got to get the extra yeah on there, otherwise.
Yeah.
It's a bizarre story. I'd put that in the category of the you haven't had that one yet.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for sharing, and hopefully we can get some answers for you out there on social media. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Got a big old box of bunk bed bells sitting right over there that I keep kicking as I'm walking through the building. And the structure in which we live.
Okay.
The four-walled room. And I keep going, yeah, I got to get those out. And you know what? I'm going to do it because I have my stamps.com scale right over here. I got my convenient little printable postage, and it's ready to go. I love it. Don't have to worry about going to the post office. I just have to stop my own damn procrastination.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, you know, going to the post office, now that makes it, you know, 10 times more difficult, because you're sitting there, you're waiting in line, you got to find a good time to go when it's not going to be busy. It's a hassle. But with stamps.com, they really take that hassle out of the equation. You can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package using your own computer and printer right from your desk. And unlike the post office, stamps.com never closes, so you can get postage whenever you need it, with or without pants on. I mean, I know some. No, if you went into the post office with pants off, they may probably still take your money, but they're probably going to be like, yeah, maybe next time. Pants. But with this, stamps.com, you can do it with no pants.
Okay.
It's one of the big advantages. Anyway, we use it all the time to send out our bunk bed bells. Another shipment about to go out. Right now, you can use our code GHOST. Get this special offer. 4-week trial includes postage and a digital scale. Just use that promo code GHOST. Don't wait. Go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the radio microphone on the top of the homepage and type in GHOST. GHOST. Stamps.com, enter GHOST. Stamps.com, never go to the post office again, and never wear pants again either.
You should just do it. You have no excuse.
Not wear pants?
No, I mean, as far as getting these things out.
Oh, I know. I just keep kicking the box. It's just procrastination.
Get them out of your habitat.
I know. And it's all right here, ready to go. So now that we have that, I'm going to be sending this next shipment out shortly. If you want a bunk bed bell, by the way, ghostpodcast.com, sign up for the year membership, get 1 month free, and get a bunk bed bell. Not bad. You can ring along with us every time I say bunk bed,
mm-hmm.
or someone else says bunk bed, or even the thought of a bunk bed enters my mind, even if I don't verbally say it.
Okay.
That just gets weird, though, why this bell just starts ringing. But anyway, that's all part of it. Hi.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. This is Sammy from Kansas. Funny story, I actually called yesterday. I was in the middle of my story and something really creepy happened. So yeah, that kind of shook me up. I'll tell that part of the story after I get through, so it'll make sense after I get through my story. So basically, just a little backstory, starting over, is when I was about 12, my dad remarried, and she had two young boys as well, and then they had a child together, so my half-sister, and she was fairly young when this happened. This was about 10 years ago, like I said, I was 12. So they had just moved into a new house. It was kind of, like, eerie. I didn't like the feeling I got when I was there, but I also watched a lot of horror movies as a kid, and so it was kind of just like how I just always over-speculated on everything. You know, I thought, oh, this is haunted, whatever. So that was just kind of where my mind was, and I tried not to think too much about it. But the house was old. It was creepy. It was creaky. It was just kind of unsettling, basically, but nothing, you know, too wild. So the first night that they moved in, actually, I babysat the kids a lot, the two young boys and my little sister, who was probably like three at the time. I would babysit them. He paid my phone bill, and he kind of used that against me, like, you know, I pay for this. You need to help me out. You need to do this for me or whatever. So on the day they're moving, they went back to get one last load and left me there with the kids. We were in the front room watching TV, and I heard a big crash. It sounded like metal on metal. I didn't know what it was. I was freaked out, obviously, but the kids were always scared of everything, so I couldn't really react in fear of them getting really upset. I just kind of acted like I didn't hear it, and then a few seconds later, it happened again, and I was too freaked out to even stay in the house, so I took the kids. We went out on the front lawn, like the front porch area, and we just kind of waited. It was maybe like another 45 minutes until they got home. So that was the first kind of unsettling experience, nothing too crazy, just a noise. You know, I thought maybe something fell or whatever. So after that, I remember looking around. I didn't see there was nothing out of place, nothing had fallen. So I never had an explained for that that happening. So an explanation. So fast forward about 6 months. Like I said, I live in Kansas. It's close to the about 2 hours from the Oklahoma border, where there's quite a few casinos. And my father and my stepmother would go there often, and I would stay home and watch the kids. I obviously didn't enjoy it, but it kind of wasn't my choice. So they would go, and like I said, 2 hours away, kind of scary for a 12-year-old to be watching her younger siblings. But one night specifically, the night that the creepiest, scariest, most unexplainable night I've ever had. So I was in the boys' room. They shared a room, and it was me and my sister in that room. I don't remember the reasoning, but I know that the boys were in the parents' room, my dad's room, and they were in their bed. I don't remember why we did that, but I just remember being on an air mattress in the boys' room with my little sister. It was about 2:30 in the morning, and the dog there would always bark. I mean, constantly barking for no reason. I mean, no apparent reason. It would just be down there barking and barking and just going at it. So I think that was what woke me up that night. I haven't told this story to anybody, so a couple of the details may be a little rusty, but from everything that I have always, that's always sat with me. So I remember the dog barking. I think that's what woke me up. For a minute, you know, when you just wake up, I just feel like it was one of those, I woke up and I was just instantly awake, and something was just like bothering me. I don't know what it was. So I think I was laying there with my eyes open for a minute, and like I said, the floors were creaky, and I heard somebody walking. So I looked up, the closet light was on because I was too afraid to be completely in the dark. And all I could see was the reflection of the closet light, the door, the light in there. So that was the only light I had, but I kept hearing the footsteps, and I kept thinking, what is that? So I looked up, and I seen my stepbrother. The reason I knew it was him was he kind of had the signature 2007, you know, like the whole Bieber cut thing. He was like maybe 8 or 9. So I just remember seeing that haircut and thinking, what is he doing? You know, at this point, I think I just saw him pass. He went from the bedroom to the bathroom, and it was just a straight shot. So I thought, what in the world is he doing? I didn't say anything. I was just kind of sitting there. I thought maybe he thought I was asleep or something. And then I watched him leave the bathroom and go back to his room, my parents' room, and he did that about 3 or 4 times before I was kind of getting freaked out. I'm not sure if he knew I was awake or whatever, but at some point, instead of passing my room to go to the bathroom, he stopped right in front of the doorway and was staring at me, and I couldn't see his face because of, you know, I just had that little bit of light from the closet. I could just see his hair, I could see the shadow of his body, you know, the outline, and he was just staring, you know, just facing me, and I thought, he knows I'm awake. You know, I said, Elijah was his name. I said, Elijah, what are you doing? And he didn't answer me. And I thought, what in the world? And I yelled his name again. He didn't answer me again. So I think I screamed it. And, you know, I said, Elijah, what are you doing? And he turned around and walked away. And I thought, what in the world is he doing? So after that, I yelled his name again. He wasn't in my sight anymore, but I thought, he's awake and he's, you know, he's acting weird. So I yelled his name like 3 or 4 times before he woke up, or Elijah walked in the room, and he said, what? You know, he was rubbing his eyes. He had just woken up. And he said, what are you doing? And he said, what do you mean? I said, what are you doing out there? He said, I don't know what you're talking about. I just woke up. And I said, you know, I was like, what do you mean you just woke up? He said, I was just laying in bed, and I noticed, I looked at him, and he was in just his, like, boxers, like underwear. And I thought, the boy that was looking at me was fully dressed. He had a hoodie or like some kind of jacket and like a heavy sweatpants. And I didn't even think about it when he was there, but I thought he was literally gone for 2 seconds. He couldn't have went in there and took off all his clothes and came back, you know, and he looked like he had just woken up, and I had scared him out of his sleep by yelling his name. So I mean, the eeriest feeling got over me, like creeped over me. I had chills, and I just thought, what in the world was that? You know, I saw somebody walking back and forth and then stopped and just staring at me, and it wasn't him. And the only thing that made me think it was him was the haircut. And I just thought, what in the world, who was that? You know, that was just the creepiest feeling to me. I didn't tell him what happened. You know, I said, oh, maybe I was seeing something. You know, like I said, I couldn't scare him. He was young, and I knew that if I did, it would just be bad news for everybody. So I just told him, oh, maybe I saw something, you know, or just come back in here, come sleep with me. And so the boys came in, and they both slept with me in my bed that night. And I refused. I wouldn't go over there. I wouldn't be alone. I wouldn't babysit. The feeling of knowing they were 2 hours away and I was there in that house just wasn't, I couldn't do it. When my parents first moved into that house, they had to fix it up a lot, and they always said from the beginning that they felt like there was a presence there, not malevolent, not evil, just they always said they had a feeling it was a young child because it was playful. They would turn on lights and walk back into the room a minute later, and the lights would be off. Doors would be open, and then they would be shut, and it just seemed very playful and very, you know, just kind of it obviously felt creepy, but so... Anyways, I haven't told that story in years. I think I told my dad the next day, and I think that was the only time I ever repeated it. What reminded me of it was a few days ago, I had just gotten home, and I actually just recently moved into my mom's house, back into my mom's house. I'm getting surgery soon, and I need to be able to pay for it. So I moved back into my parents' house, and my mom, not my dad. So I was going through some stuff. I had just moved in. I was unpacking, and I found a pillow, and I hadn't seen the pillow in years. And I remembered that I put it away. I hid it away because it was a pillow that I took with me, like, everywhere, with kind of my, like, protecting, you know, like that soothing thing for me. And I had it with me that night. And after that night, I remember putting it away, and I just didn't. I'd never touched it. But when I was at my mom's unpacking back boxes, they were from, like, when I was really young. And I seen that pillow, and that's immediately what I thought of. So it was actually in the shed, and I brought it inside, and it just, you know, that was the story I thought of. So I called to tell you, this is the second part of the you know, what I did when I called. So I was calling, and I was in the middle of my story, and I had the pillow with me, you know, it was like next to me when I was thinking about it. And I got up, and I'm like walking around telling the story, you know, I was standing up, and I'm telling you guys the story, and I turn around, and the pillow wasn't there anymore, and I was like, what in the world? And I look over, and it's sitting on the chair, like completely on the opposite side of the room. It was on top of it, like I wouldn't put it there where it was, and I just thought, what in the world? And it immediately got a chilled feeling over me. I freaked out. I was like, what was that? And I hung up the phone immediately. I was telling the story, and I thought, oh my gosh, all these emotions are coming back, and all, you know, that feeling, and then I knew I didn't put that pillow there, and I just immediately was, like, freaked out. I hung up the phone, and I just, like, lay there chilled for, like, an hour. Anyways, I'm sorry. That was kind of long and long-winded, so I hope you guys, I hope you stuck that out. I don't know what to think of it. I don't know what to think of it happening, something like that happening again after so many years. It was just freaky to me, and just had that eerie feeling all night long, like I wasn't alone, like some, I don't know, I just, all those memories and those feelings came flooding back. So now, what's your guys' opinion on that? I mean, any advice that you may have on, you know, how you feel about that happening again, or what you think about any of it? Anyways, I appreciate, you know, you guys doing this show. I think it's so awesome. It's like the only thing I can just listen to constantly, and it's really cool to know that other people have had these experiences. Yeah. Anyways, thank you guys for listening, and I hope you have some good advice for me, because it's kind of freaky. Anyways, have a good night, guys. Bye.
Good advice, Jenny. Go.
Get rid of the pillow.
Burn pillow?
I wouldn't burn it, but I would get rid of it. And the reason I get rid of it is she said two things. She said that the last time she had that pillow out before she got it out at her mom's house when she was unpacking,
mm-hmm.
was that night when she was so scared,
mm-hmm.
and that activity was going on. Now, there may have still been activity, but she didn't allude to anything since then.
Mm-hmm.
And that pillow was packed away, and now she got the pillow out and stuff's happening again.
Something with the pillow.
Yeah.
Did anyone else have the pillow before her, I wonder?
I don't know.
Interesting. All right, there you go. Get rid of the pillow.
I would start there.
Problem solved.
I don't know that hopefully. It's going to solve it, but I would start there.
On the first story, what's more disturbing, the fact that there was a ghost boy that was in her house, or the fact that ghosts are now finding it a good idea to put their hair like Justin Bieber's?
For sure, the Justin Bieber thing. Yeah.
I'm more disturbed by that the ghosts are like, I'm dead. And the best thing I can do is look like Justin Bieber.
And the thing is, if you had that haircut when you're alive and you die and you have that haircut now that you're a ghost, you're stuck with that for like the next however many hundreds of years that you're a ghost.
Good decision making right there by the ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hey, we had a snake yesterday in the backyard. That was exciting and fun for the whole family. We really did kind of turn it into a family event, because we were out there. We're ripping up some dead plants on the side of our house to do a different garden. And Jenny's like, hey, do you see what's out over there in the tree? What? I look and like, oh, yeah. Sure enough, there's the outline, you know, because it was down a little ways.
Yeah.
Of what looked like a snake in a tree.
Yeah, in the bottom of a cedar, so it wasn't very far off the ground.
The perfect looking snake in a tree, just the way it's all kind of, you know, bent itself around is the way it looked. And and this is not uncommon. I mean, we live essentially on a rock cliff that goes down, and there's leaves and trees and everything right here. So it's snake country. Knock on wood, I have yet to see this is my first time seeing with a semblance of a snake in the back.
Mm-hmm.
Get down there, and I'm looking at it, and I didn't get too close, but I'm just like, I wanted to get a better look at it.
And then like 12-year-olds, we start throwing stuff at it to scare it.
Because it's not moving. It's just there. And I'm like, oh, maybe it's what it is. So I wasn't trying to kill it or hurt it or anything. I just thought, well, if I can, you know, get the tree shaken a little bit, or the branch, it'll scurry along. So throw, you know, some pieces of wood and stuff at the tree, because it's a frail tree for the most part. And you know, anything is going to shake this thing. So I got the tree shaking a little bit, and the snake just kind of sits there completely looking like a crisp snake.
It swings.
Yeah.
It doesn't like slither or anything. It's like stuck.
Yeah. So they're like, is this snake, is it dead? So we get down there a little bit closer, and upon further examination, it appears to be a plastic snake or a rubber snake.
He's still hanging there today.
We have still yet to completely confirm this.
Yeah.
But I would, judging by what I saw, I'm going to say probably not a real snake.
No, never was.
Looked pretty, but convincing from a distance nonetheless. It looks like something you'd see hanging in a tree.
Oh, and his tongue's out permanently.
Yeah. So I'm going to say not a real snake. But then it came to like, well, how the hell did it get here? Like, we don't have friends.
No.
That are going to like going to show up and do this. And there's some neighbors with kids, and they have a deck off to the side. So the best thing that the conclusion I think that Jenny came up was that maybe it was an April Fool's joke on our neighbor, and it was up on their deck, and maybe one of them, whoever had the joke being played on them, grabbed it and then just flung it out into the woods
after
and,
they realized it was yeah, fake,
and then it landed in our tree.
Because that's honestly what I would do if somebody did that to me.
Yeah.
And I knew it was a fake snake, I would fling it off the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
I've told you guys I'd drop kick a Teddy Ruxpin off the cliff. So obviously I'm going to throw, you know, plastic snakes off the cliff, which is a great idea.
Drop kick a Teddy Ruxpin off the cliff.
So that's the best I can come up with because it wasn't there before April Fool's Day.
Uh-huh.
So that's all I got.
Yeah, because I've been down there quite a bit. Just looking at other stuff, and I think I would have noticed it because
mm-hmm.
I try to be fairly vigilant for snakes, and it was right there. I mean, it wasn't like it wasn't playing Where's Waldo with wilderness. It was just right there. So, well, there you go.
That's the shit that happens at our house, ladies and gentlemen.
We also learned that Jenny would drop kick a Teddy Ruxpin off a cliff. So you learn something new every day. The more you know.
Hey, what's up, Brewski family? My name is Keith Green out of Dallas, Texas. I'm just going to tell you one of my stories. It's brief. A lot of this stuff happened basically when I was in Albuquerque, New Mexico. That's where my immediate family is, and that's where I grew up. I was probably, I would say, 4 or 5. And cause I remember, because I had on a onesie, and so yeah, I was probably around that age. And I used to live next to my grandmother. She had like a, I guess a duplex kind of house, like a house next to each other. But anyway, one night I remember I was outside on, the porch and I was playing, I don't know, it was nighttime. I think it was around October because there was no leaves on the trees. And it was just crazy because like the moon was like, you know, it was a full moon and it was like, you know, I think it was around Halloween time or October. And like, you know, how the trees have the leaves and then you see the full moon, you know, at the backdrop through the trees. So it was like that. Well, anyway, down, like there was like, you know, my porch and it's like 2 steps. And then right next to down by the steps is a bush. And I remember I was on the porch playing whatever. I had something, I don't know, it's Frisbee or something. And I like threw the Frisbee and it landed out on the lawn. And as it landed out there, out of nowhere, the bush I mentioned uprooted itself and walked across the sidewalk to the other side where my grandma and where my grandparents live. And rooted itself in the ground, which completely freaked me out. And when I saw that, I was like, Mom! And so they came outside, right? And I said, Mom, the bush, it moved. And they like walked over there to the bush and they pulled on the bush and it didn't move. It was like just rooted in the ground, which was a trip. And then like the next day we wake up, the bush is back to where it was. And there's just many stories that happened in my grandmother's house. I try to say, and then real quickly, there also used to be people on the walls in our side of the house, and I was the only one who's seen them, which is weird. And this happened a lot, like on more, you know, separate occasions that this would happen. And I would see them. Now, in my mom's room, there were kids on the wall. Just imagine, okay, the wall's to the back of you, in front of you there's a door, and then to your right there's a wall. And on that wall there were kids. I would wake up and I'd see kids on the walls, and they were like 3 kids playing jump rope. And I see them all the time, they'd look at me and wave, but they never talk, you know, wave and, you know, do the jump roping. Then as you walk out my mom's room, we had like a small little corridor that led to, of course, the living room, then there was the bathroom, and then the other way was our bedroom. And on the ceiling, there was a little girl a little black girl with pigtails, and she had like a little red dress, you know, with little polka dots and a little shoes, little black shiny shoes, and a little, you know, I guess pompadour kind of socks, whatever. She's on a ceiling, and it was weird because the light fixture was like right in her stomach, and she would just be up there smiling. And then in my room, there was something else, but I can't remember what that was. I can't remember about that. So what else? I remember one night we were all outside. It was all the cousins and my grandma's. Everyone was gone, and we were outside playing, right? It was nighttime, and there used to be across the street, there's like these big trees, right? One night we were outside playing, we heard like rustling up there, right? And then out of nowhere, we heard like a witch like cackle, you know? You know how witches cackle? And we all like ran inside, right? Because it freaked us out, closed the doors. Then all of a sudden, like all the windows, we start hearing banging in all the windows out of nowhere. This, it was just weird, just bang, 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 bang on the, you know, the front window, side, back of the house, whatever. And then like we like looked outside. And then we just saw all these, like, you know, people in, well, we don't know what they were, all in cloaks, like, running away. It was weird. And then also, like, on my grandma's side of the house, also, like that corridor I mentioned on our side, like, we used to play in there. We used to close the doors and just play in that little section. And, like, those, you know, those old heaters, it was weird. We used to be able to look, we can, like, look up into it. And we used to see, like, Freddy Krueger before he was Freddy Krueger, before even there was a Freddy Krueger. It was this dude that he was, like, see-through, but he was, like, neon. And he had, like, the hat and the sweater, but the stripes, but he was neon. So he was, like, see-through, but neon. I'll trace the neon, which is weird. Also, there used to be a clown, a demonic clown in the backyard, which was when we used to go outside and play. We used to play, like, you know, like, Red Light, Green Light, or Midnight, whatever. There was a clown outside that used to just, I don't know, like just stand there. Like my grandma has like a brick wall in the back, and he just used to stand there, and he had his hands, you know, like perched, like right there. And we like to, you know, and he never said nothing, never moved. And we could like throw like dirt rocks at him, never move, and which was a trip out. And also, then remember one time when we finally moved out of my grandma's duplex in their own apartment. I remember one night I woke up, because I'm trying to say these quick because I know these are timed. I woke up and I was in first grade, and my Godzilla and my toy jet plane started fighting each other, like, you know, like Godzilla movies do, which was weird. Also, I remember when my brother's bed, my bed was on the wall that where the door was, and he was like directly at the door, like on the other side, but like in our hallway was like, I guess our fire alarm, and it had like a little light that was like a green, so it always like shined in on my brother. And every time I used to look at him sometimes at night, it looked like his head was missing, which was weird. And then let me go back to my grandma's house. There used to be this guy, like, used to live next door to my grandma's house. We used to go over his house, and he had all this cool stuff and tell these cool stories. Well, one night he told this story, and as he told the story, it happened. So let me just give you an example. Like he said, like the ship flew over the house. Out of nowhere, this object, whatever it was, flew over the house. Then he said, and then it flew down behind the house. And then out of nowhere, we see twinkling lights off in the distance, down the block, something behind the house, land or whatever it does. Then you hear the lady scream. Out of nowhere, we hear some lady scream down the street. So, yeah, I've had those crazy stories. I know I can get put more into detail, but those are kind of some of the crazy things that I saw growing up as a kid.
It's a day of first. I've never in my life heard of a plant getting up and moving and rerooting itself.
We'll do it all the time, like on Killer Tomatoes and little pet shop. Well, not pet shop. What was one with the
Little Shop of Horrors?
Little Shop of Horrors.
Yeah.
What the hell is that?
I don't know.
A plant doing that?
I wonder, were they outside when they saw that, or were they inside?
I don't know.
Because some of that stuff was so trippy, it makes me think of like a gas leak.
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I just think, I think he saw these things. I just think that it's maybe more than paranormal. It's probably something going on in that duplex as far as
there's something
odors or gases or something.
It's something is essentially making people hallucinate as if they were on drugs.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, some of it is was very, very trippy imagery.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what the hell? I mean, I believe he had these experiences, but were they because of an influence of something like a gas leak of some sort? That's something that we always have to examine and at least consider.
On the really far out ones, we do.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for the stories and sharing that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Hi.
Hi, guys. This is Brandy from Wapello, Iowa. I'm just calling. I don't really have a lot today, but you guys on a show a few days ago were talking about, can people that get in bad car wrecks when they pass away come back looking like they did before the car wreck or after the car wreck or whatnot? And I think I might have an answer for that. I'll give a little backstory and then I'll go into the ghost part of it. It'd be my mom's cousin had passed away in a car wreck. He actually got decapitated. His mom never found out what happened. It was a closed casket. She didn't want to know. The dad didn't want to tell her, so they just kept it as it was bad. She didn't need to see it. So, into the story, I guess. She was haunted by him in their house. She had him show up a few different times, and when she'd see him, she said he was wearing what he was wearing the day of the car wreck. But he looked normal, no issues or anything, no marks on him. She said he looked good. And she would see him around her house every so often. But at first I wasn't sure if she was just thinking about him or if it really happened. And my mom used to go to her house and help her out by doing dishes and household chores for her, just basically to keep her company. And she was in there washing dishes one day and she felt a tap on her shoulder and she's like, "Yes, Aunt Donnie?" And my aunt, be my great aunt, she's like, "What, dear?" And my mom's like, "You just tapped me. What did you need?" She's like, "I didn't tap you, dear." And mom's like, "Oh, okay. What about doing the dishes?" And then she felt it again, and she turned around that time, and she's like, as she was getting ready to say, "Yes, Aunt Donnie," she seen her cousin Butchie. He was standing right behind her, and then he was gone. He vanished. And mom's like, "Aunt Donnie?" And she's like, "What's wrong, dear?" And mom's like, "I just seen Butchie." And Aunt Donna Jean said, "Yes, he's here. He's probably the one that's been tapping on your shoulder. He just wants you to see him." And mom said also, from what she got to see of him, she said it was just a quick little glimpse of him, but it was him, and he looked normal, like everything was fine, and that he was really there. So that's all I have on that story. I do have another quick one if I have time to get it in here. It would be with my grandmother and my Aunt Donna Jean, the one that lost her son in the car wreck. They were kids coming home from school. They lived in Columbus Junction, Iowa. And they were coming home from school and they seen who they called the crazy lady next door in her rocking chair on her roof. And Grandma went inside and asked her mom, "Why is crazy old Miss Johnson," I don't think that's her last name, but "crazy Miss Johnson up on her roof in the rocking chair?" And my grandma got her mouth smacked. And she's like, "Why, mom, why did you smack me?" She's like, "You don't talk ill of the dead that way. She passed away and you don't talk like that." Grandma's like, "No, she is outside in the rocking chair on the top of her house." And my Aunt Donna Jean said, "Yes, Mom, she was. I seen her too." and they went back outside, and sure enough, she wasn't up there. But Grandma did say she looked as real as could be. She was in normal clothes, in normal dress that she would have worn on any other day. So I don't know. I don't know what they come back dressed like, but or looking like, but those were two stories that I had been told, and I'm gonna guess they look like everyday normal people. Thanks. Bye.
If I am coming back with my rocking chair, I don't want it to be on the roof.
No, you just want to be like in a normal spot?
Normal spot.
Or how about down there by the fake snake?
Nope.
In the tree.
I don't think I'd be... I don't know. I'll probably still be afraid of snakes even when I'm a ghost.
It's kind of natural reaction.
Mm-hmm.
We hear about that. I mean, not necessarily snakes, but just ghosts still reacting as people.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, why did the ghost act like that? Well, how would you have acted in this situation if you were... if the person was alive? Or how would you think that they would react? Well, like that. Well, they're still...
Mm-hmm.
That's still the mindset. So, I would be too, I think. I'd be very freaked out by snakes forever. Forever and ever.
Okay.
Amen. All right. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you all for listening. If you like the show, please become an EPP, Extra Podcast Person. Get all the bonus episodes of our show, all of the exclusive video content, and more. You do that at ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month is all we ask for. Or you can sign up for a full year and get one of those months free and get all that access right there and a bunk bed bill as well. So check it out at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.